Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey.
I was going to say that.
What you got to say?
We still with the cheerleader chants.
Well,
I know that's a song, but
yeah,
there's a
all of the above
urban cheerleader chant.
Yeah. How are
based
thou?
On that?
How art thou?
Thou art great. How great thou art. No, that's
I had
not
to
the
go
same
biblical
thing.
On them. Yeah. So you are great. Great is good.
I am well.
Okay.
It is well with my soul.
Okay.
Just keep doing it.
Wind peace like a river.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is well. Yeah, I had an aunt pass away this week, so I'm a little down. My aunt was really good people. She was like another mom to me. Yeah, thank you. And her son is like a brother to me, and so mm-hmm. it's tough, but, you know, we get through. And big shout out to her and... You know, I'm glad that she has peace and rest.
Yes.
Yes.
Peace is important.
Yeah. We have
I'm really sorry for your loss, though. I
yeah,
know there's
I appreciate
a lot
that.
Of care and support given by your family. So.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom moved down there. I was taking care of her for the last, like, 45 days, 30 days. I don't know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to go through it, too.
Yeah. Had a client pass away, too.
Jeez.
Yeah. All, like, literally the same. The client passed away like 2 weeks ago. I heard about it today. His wife was mourning and planning and just getting to the financial things now.
Wow.
But yeah, man, listen, it's here with us.
Tough time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, sorry to start so, you know, so
it's life. We share
down.
What's going on sometimes in our lives. So this is part of it too.
I do have like some interesting coincidences of the week. Multiple people who I did not expect stopped me like, hey, I love the podcast. I heard you talking about blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
And that was a really good angle.
Okay.
One is...
And they were like, I don't know about that Andrea chick, though.
Nah, and each of them said they really like you.
Mm.
Each of them, individually.
Okay.
Unprovoked.
Okay.
Okay. One is a person I'm on the board with at this community college in New Jersey, Raritan Valley Community College Foundation.
Do I know this person?
No,
okay.
I don't think so.
Later.
Second is one of my clients, a board member, like it's a client, it's a nonprofit organization, one of the board members on one of our review meetings. And then the other was like a woman who works for the corporate office of Zips Franchising.
Okay.
And I'm like, I know I mentioned this maybe once to y'all. Y'all are actually still listening. Like, y'all don't have to give me pity listens. Like, y'all are actually listening. Like, that's crazy.
Pity listens are nice, though. But you never want anybody to feel pressure.
Yeah, I don't want any pity. I want zero pity listens.
I agree with you. No pity listens.
You told me you told some people about the podcast recently.
I had a couple of people that were like, I'm going to watch for sure. And I'm like, no, you're not.
That's a pity watch.
That's a pity watch. But they, mm-hmm. I think they had good intentions because some podcasts are video recorded.
This is true.
And, but I can't really say anything because we were having a conversation about Black Twitter.
Yeah.
And I thought Black Twitter was like literally another platform and not just.
You're not the only one that has thought that.
Yeah, but that says something. Yeah.
But they call it video podcast. That sometimes they call it that.
Sure.
Sometimes, not always.
So they said they were going to watch.
Yeah. Like, that's when you'd be like, yo, let me know if you like it when you see it.
I know, right? No, this is, a client who has become a really good friend. And so if she even has time to think about listening, that's a bonus. So
yeah. So big shout out to all the listeners that are not giving us pity listens. We've had over 400,000 downloads. I think it's just, that's crazy to me.
And only 100,000 are me. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't. I listen sometimes, but not that much.
I'm going to give you the stats.
Okay.
Yeah, not now. And then in a future date, I'm going to give you the stats. You'll be surprised pleasantly, I believe.
All good. We appreciate anyone who listens.
Yeah. No, we do, including those who are listening that we never would expect, especially those listeners. Big shout to you.
I know you are not listening, Mom, or husband.
But real talk, prior to having a podcast, I had barely known what a podcast is, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's a new medium for
relatively
some of us.
New to people.
New in terms of behaviors to actually listen, not new like they just came out.
Yeah. So a lot has happened this week.
Tell me about it.
It was funny, like a lot happened last week.
Yes. Like, I feel like for the past 2 or 3 weeks, I'm like, I can't believe everything that happened this week.
Yeah.
But it just keeps intensifying. I feel like it's a bit of a twilight zone.
Yeah. Well, they say, may you live in interesting times.
Oh, they say that?
Yes, it has been said.
And it's happening.
I don't know. Somebody
okay,
said it.
Somebody said it.
And we're living in interesting times. You know,
people
love to say unprecedented. I don't know about that. For us, it's unprecedented.
In our lifetime, it's unprecedented.
Yeah, for sure. So we recorded our podcast last week on either Friday or Saturday. Like, Microsoft was the big news at the time.
Yes.
And then literally 24 hours later, nobody's talking about Microsoft.
At all.
Because Biden dropped out of the race.
Yes.
And I wonder if Microsoft is behind that, by the way. Notice that no one was talking about them anymore. It could have been a diversion. I don't know. I don't expect that Microsoft is that powerful, but I'm not putting it past them.
Yeah. So when I think we might have talked about this already too, but when they were, we talked about Microsoft blaming CrowdStrike, and I'm like, but then the last time there was a big tech outage or disruption, wasn't that also around election time?
All right, my conspiracy theory partner. I see where you're going with that.
Been down too many rabbit holes, read too many articles.
Yeah. Listen, man, I got a couple, but I won't go there on
this
show.
We're not doing that today.
Yeah, not today. But we should talk about this presidential race. And I hate to make our show about politics. This is kind of like a different angle. Like, people don't come to us for a political analysis. But one of the things that we wanted to highlight today, this is kind of information sharing. People look at us as folks who understand finance and financial markets and what Wall Street is thinking. And so that's what today's show is really about.
Because that's who we are and that's who we do.
Yeah, we're Wall Street people. I call myself a reformed Wall Streeter.
Yes, because we're like Main Street people.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of in the middle.
Yeah, very much so. So a lot of folks are looking at the polls. The polls are basically like all the different news organizations do them, some colleges do them. Then the news writes about them. Like, here's what folks are thinking. And that's been a big focus this week, is now that we have Kamala as really the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, what are her odds against Trump?
Right.
And she's rising in the polls, for sure.
There's some energy and excitement that wasn't there before.
But Wall Street doesn't really just look at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk today a little bit about these things called prediction markets.
Yep.
Because polls are one thing, and prediction markets are something different. In one case, folks are just telling you what they think.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're lying because they feel uncomfortable. Like, it's a fact. Sometimes people lie on polls.
True.
Like, if it's a poll that's in person.
Yep.
And the person feels judged.
Yep.
You about to get a lie.
They might respond differently.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a poll taken over the phone, it might get a different response.
Right.
But Wall Street looks at prediction markets because this is people actually betting money. They're actually putting financial ties to what they think is going to happen.
Always about the money.
And when you're betting your money, you're not just betting what I want to happen. You're betting what I think will happen, which is a very big different thing.
Correct.
So let's talk about it. So polls. Polls, we all know, they are a way to guess an outcome based on a small sample size.
Yeah.
And typically with a poll, they have figured that if they can talk to between 1,000 and 1,500 people, they can predict what's going to happen for the entire 300 million people that live in the United States.
And that statistically sounds ridiculous, but yeah,
not just statistically. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
A common method used in polling is random sampling, where pollsters are drawing a random sample of participants from computer-generated lists, and they're calling people, or they're reaching out to people via traditional mail.
Ain't nobody responding to that.
But it's supposed to give everybody in the population a chance to get asked at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been polled?
I get invited to participate in polls by text message all the time.
You think they're legit?
I don't know. And I will not click on them to find out.
Yo, I get invited to do all kinds of things by text message all the time now.
My and backslider. Here's my,
yo, here is my... No, it's like no, strangers. I'm talking about strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my... Like, this is like my guilty pleasure now. I just mess with them now.
Mm.
Like the other day, because I've been getting a ton of these, like some alleged woman that I know is some dude that's a hacker trying to somehow get my bank account information. Since like this happens a lot. I get a text from some alleged woman. Hey, are we still meeting for dinner tonight? Or hey, it was good to meet you. Like it's one of those like an accidental text that they think can turn into like a real life connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the other day.
Block and delete.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yes.
There's no fun in that. So the other day I started to just respond in emojis. Like mad face.
And how many times have you been a victim of fraud?
Don't talk about
that.
I'm
just saying.
Don't talk about that. So that was a funny one. Right now I'm having fun with someone that wants me to work a job. I know it's not a real job.
Oh, yeah. Because
they're going
after
the elderly.
Yeah, I'm getting those lately.
They target the elderly. So I've just been saying, well, how old do you got to be? And they'll say, you got to be, you know, at least 18. I was like, all right, well, I'm better than that because I'm 79 years old. And like, I'm like, does that qualify? They're like, yeah, we really like people between this age and this age. Oh, so y'all discriminate against people based on age. And then they're like, no, but, you know, this is... So I was like, well, how about this?
Okay, so you're not sharing
No. I am just messing with these people.
I don't like to follow the links because I don't know if those are legit.
I don't click
the links. Okay, I hear you.
But that's my fun. It's just
fun.
Yeah,
it's cool.
And so, but I'm having this contest because they're like, all right, we'd like you to be between this age range. So I'm like, well, what if I say I'm 70? Would y'all take me? They're like, yeah, that would be perfect. Well, I could do better than that. What if I say I'm 79? What if I say I'm 81? And then I'm like, 96 is my final offer.
And then they get flustered.
And then they keep texting back.
The call just ends. Oh, seriously.
The emoji one was funny because it ended with them just sending me a skull. I'm dead. But like,
that's pretty good.
That could have been a threat. Like, are they going to kill me now? I don't know, but whatever. So prediction markets and polls. So the issue with polls, not only is there that issue of whether people are telling the truth, there's also this issue of a small sample size. Typically with a poll, they want to say that there's a margin of error of less than 3%. But in reality, like the margin of error is really like 7%.
Right.
And if it's 7%, that means it's really 14% because you got to double it. Because if
in either direction, right? The absolute.
So these
I feel
polls,
like a nerd when I say stuff like we're talking about the absolute value.
It's okay. You are a nerd.
Okay.
And I am too.
Yeah, we are.
We are nerds.
We are nerds.
That's why people listen to us. For the nerd.
Or don't.
That's true. Now, when you were growing up, did you get accused of being a nerd or no? Because I feel like this might be biased. I feel like boys are more likely to be called a nerd than a girl.
So I don't remember flat out being called a nerd, but I was aware that I was nerdy.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Okay.
I'm an optimist, so I would be like, nerd today, genius tomorrow. I got teased more for being super, super skinny. Like I was frail as a young lady. And then I was like, that's okay. One day.
Yeah.
You will be mad at me because I'm skinny.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And that happened. Maybe not so much anymore, but I'm just saying.
You're still quite.
I was looking forward to my future self.
Okay, fine. Yeah, and I was a nerd. I got even called a nerd this week, like on text, like with emojis by one of my good friends.
Yeah, my sister called me a nerd.
Yeah.
But she could because she was a cool nerd.
Yeah. Speaking of cool nerds, big shout out to Dwayne Wayne. He became my hero.
Did he?
Oh, big time.
Really?
I was like, yo, you could be smart and get the girl. Like, oh, yeah. This okay. is going to work out all right.
Flip up glasses. No yes. chance with Denise.
Oh, I tried the flip up glasses, too. I did
Disrupts
try.
Whitley's wedding to the senator.
Yes. Yes.
That was your idol.
That was my idol.
Okay. Right?
Hmm. So polls are often inaccurate.
You don't say.
Yeah. So, like, for example, they thought that Hillary Clinton had a 98% chance of beating Trump in 2016.
Yeah. That Who was, were they polling? Where yeah. did they live?
That's another issue with polls.
Yeah.
They might poll a random sampling of Americans, but that electoral college hits differently.
A little bit.
That popular vote.
A lot, actually.
Doesn't quite count all the time. Not in a direct way. Like mm-hmm. sometimes it's more about the electoral college, or a lot of times.
Yep.
It's more about the electoral college. Other issues is like, do people respond? New technology like texting and computer stuff. Early voting. Early voting is a big one. That's really impacting polls.
It is. Because you can't see the results until
Word.
Later.
Or what about the person that, you know, wrote down one thing on the brochure.
They changed their mind, right?
And then, yeah, and they polled differently, you know?
Yeah. So,
remember exit polls? That was a big thing. Like, I just walked out of the ballot box.
Yep. I've never been approached for an exit poll, though.
I haven't been approached for a poll, period. I've never even, I just got contacted by Nielsen, like, for the TV stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Like, this year. I did, too. And I felt obligated to try to participate because I'm like, first of all, they sent me cash. Did they send you $5?
I think they sent me, like, $1.
They sent me $5.
Okay, now I'm mad.
Now you're mad.
Now I'm hating.
I got $5. And someone did come to the house, and I was like, I don't really know who's listening.
Yeah.
So I didn't proceed. But at the same time, I'm like, just happy that I had an opportunity to be represented.
Yeah.
But I'm like, don't y'all already know what I'm watching? All this stuff is digital anyway. Can't yeah. you do but this you, a different way?
But you felt seen.
I felt seen.
Yeah.
But I didn't proceed. And I spent the $5.
That's funny. The funny thing is there are a lot of companies now that are doing kind of inside the TV
right.
level analytics. I'm an investor in one, I'm proud to say.
I'm familiar and, with that.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, we still putting boxes in people's homes. All of this stuff is digital
yeah,
anyway.
You figure they're the incumbent and they've got to do something to make sure that they continue to have value for the thing that they do, that yeah. they're known for. They're not yeah. smart. They're like the Blockbuster Video, I should say.
Blockbuster Video.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That's a commercial.
I don't know why I know jingles. It's sad.
So let's talk about the polls. So what are the polls saying about the current election? Right now, it's a 1% difference between Trump and Harris.
Yeah, crazy.
That's a really, really slim margin of difference.
So really, it could be as much as
yeah, it could be
13 or 14%, but yeah.
But the significance of it being 1%
right.
is that Biden was at a 2%
mm-hmm.
difference.
Yeah.
And now she's done 50% of the way
in
closing that gap.
In a few days.
In a few days.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable.
Additionally, 70% of Democrats say that they want the party to hurry up and speedily consolidate behind Kamala Harris. 70%. That's a pretty big percentage.
70%. It is. And I think, you know, again, not a political strategist, but I think that's really, gosh, this whole thing of whether or not President Biden should drop out of the race or, you know, we don't have a lot of time because the convention is coming up in not a long time. We don't have a long time. I think they wanted to see the party united. But the other side of that, which is not really what the show is about, but I'm going to say it anyway. The other side of that is, gosh, if we're a democracy, shouldn't we be a little bit more democratic in how we do this? So it's a catch 22. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Mm.
But
yeah, I guess
time is of the essence.
And damned in the Bible, so I guess we'll allow it.
We'll allow it.
Damned. I will say,
yeah. I didn't say damn.
Okay, fine.
And I definitely didn't say.
Now I can see you as a kid trying to get out of trouble. I didn't say that. Okay.
Yeah, so I was
going back to these
smart.
Polls. Harris is getting a 60% support level from voters under 30 and Hispanic voters. And these are groups that Biden had struggled with. So that's good for Harris. She's doing better in certain areas than Biden was. And then among voters under 45, she's got a 10% lead over what Biden had.
Amazing. Such a short period of time.
Additionally, and this is where I've got to give you an alternate take on what I think really, really happened. We'll do that at the end of the show.
Okay.
But almost overnight, the approval rating on Kamala Harris has risen by 10% since February.
Mm.
Like, I think it's a matter of how she was presented. And we'll talk about that a little bit. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about what Wall Street thinks and the prediction markets. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And we're back.
Yep.
Yo, she's so bad at this. We're going to put you in transition coaching, like podcast transition coaching.
Because I have a tendency to just mirror, like whatever you say, I repeat it. And I'm like, that's corny.
So if I jumped off a building, you jumping off.
No. Not at all. You just said I'm bad at this.
Did you ever play that game?
So I'm gonna stand there and be like.
Did you ever play that game where they'd be like, all right, whatever I say, then you say, but me. You ever play but me?
No.
Okay, just everything
Never
I say.
Never heard of it.
Everything I say, you say but me.
I don't understand.
Just everything I say.
No, I have to understand
me.
It. Right,
let me say it and then you say but me. I'll point to you and you say but me. Okay.
This is not going to go well. I already know it.
Everybody was having a good time.
But me.
Everybody went outside to the playground.
But me.
Everybody saw this dead dog.
But me.
Nobody ate it.
Nah, same thing. I got you. Yeah.
But that's good for the person that mirrors.
I got you.
But yeah. Me. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a natural mirrorer. Like I can't but even me. Say that right. I'm working on some new things. We'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah. I love bringing my kids like 80s level humor in the 2024 time frame, and it's never as funny as it was back in the day.
Never, because most of the time they don't even get it.
Yeah. We were like out there, like as kids, like we were just out exploring the world.
We were.
We were just wrecking shop. We were in the woods. We were drinking out of water hoses. Like life
That's
was.
That's why we're resourceful, though. We're problem solvers.
That's a fact.
These youngins, they don't know how to do anything for themselves.
I read a meme that said, we were so bad in the 80s that they literally had to make commercials saying, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? Because we would be anywhere, and the parents didn't care.
This whole phrase, out in these streets.
Yeah.
We invented that. Literally out in the streets.
Yeah.
7 years old.
Just out there.
Just saying.
And our parents used to send us to the store with, like, notes. Like, hey, can you go get me a fifth of Hennessy and a pack of cigarettes? Like, my parents didn't do that.
Your parents did not do that.
Yeah, they
And if
would've.
They did, I wouldn't let you say that.
I didn't grow up in a neighborhood with a corner store.
Okay.
However, mm-hmm. if I did, I would not be shocked if I was asked to do that back in the day.
At least you
my dad.
Got a note.
Yeah.
I was supposed to remember. A loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, a stick of butter. I'm making that up, but bring me back my change.
Yeah, no pack of cigarettes. That's good.
Not from my mother.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into these prediction markets. So this is, again, how Wall Street judges what they think is really going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I know this because we read Wall Street research all the time. And when they're making their predictions on what they think is going to happen to the economy, they look to these financial prediction markets as the real gauge on what they think is going to happen to then determine what we should be doing as investors. That's really what Wall Street is doing.
Of course. We talk about earnings. We're still in heavy earnings reporting season. We talk all the time about predictions on earnings, beat, misses, right on target.
Yeah.
Then we revise them, but that's another story.
So prediction market is a marketplace where people can trade contracts that pay out based on the outcomes of unknown future events. The market prices generated from these contracts can be understood as kind of the collective prediction among the market participants. Like, for example, there might be a contract that says, you know, Andrea Gray will be the next Democratic nominee. And there's a yes or a no. You could buy the yes or you could buy the no.
Yep.
If I buy the yes and the yes is trading at a, let's say, 70 cents on the dollar, that means the no is trading at 30 cents on the dollar because mm-hmm. it's a binary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I buy the yes and you then become the nominee or the president or whatever I said, mm-hmm. then you get paid out at 100.
Yep.
If I buy, and that's if I hold it until maturity.
Yeah.
I could also sell out early. Like I could buy in at 70, just like a stock.
Changing my mind.
I could buy in at 70. And as the market changes and as the odds of Andrea Gray becoming the Democratic nominee increases to 85%, mm-hmm. judging by the price, I can now sell it at 85.
Yep. So what happened to the people who bought the yeses for Biden?
Oh, they're...
They either sold out or they're out of the money.
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, often there's not 100% certainty. So like there's always like a little bit of... So if you bought the no on Biden and the no was probably like 2 cents,
mm-hmm.
you got paid out at 100.
Yeah.
Like that was a big financial return for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like big money that goes into these prediction markets.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to sports betting.
Yeah.
Right? You're putting some money towards an outcome that's unknown.
Yeah.
And you make more money if you bet on the lower odds or the lesser likely odds happening.
Yeah,
I'm not
like
saying
the lower,
that well,
yeah,
but
the lower,
you know what I mean?
The more unlikely it is, the higher the payout.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So one platform is called Polymarket. Polymarket has already done almost $1 billion in predictions.
Crazy.
And
I didn't know it was this popular.
Almost $1 billion wagered. And on this election in particular, they're up to almost $400 million in bets.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, that's loot.
That you said billion with a B.
Yeah, almost $1 billion and $400 million on this current election.
Mm.
So more info about these prediction markets. They can be used to bet on a variety of different things. Sometimes it's presidential elections. Sometimes it's sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's things in pop culture. Like, you can make up a prediction bet on just about anything.
Sure. Like who's going to win
in
the award season? Who's going to win the Oscar, Grammy, Tony, mm-hmm. whatever?
You can bet, is Nick Cannon's next girlfriend going to be this person or that? Like, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, you can create the bet, and it's a question of whether people want to get involved or not.
Sure.
And if nobody wants to get involved, then, you know, we won't be talking about that. But these prediction markets are increasingly big. They become more and more valuable the more people participate, just like any market. Like, the data from it becomes more valuable as more people participate.
Mm-hmm.
Two examples of prediction markets. One is Predictit. Another is Polymarket. They work very similar to how futures markets work for financial futures on things like commodities.
Another good analogy. You're still speculating
mm-hmm.
on the value or the price of something that's unknown.
Yeah.
You've got some data that might help you come up with a theory or an idea of where you think it's going to go, but the outcome isn't known until an event happens.
And why does the prediction market work? And by the way, it doesn't work 100% of the time. I did some empirical work. I was like, I wonder if they predicted J.D. Vance to be Trump's nominee. And he was like...
He was on a list.
Yeah, but like...
But we're talking about the
market.
Yeah.
Did the prediction market... Because I, you know, what's funny, I had made a prediction. I thought it was going to be a black guy. I thought, like, this would be a natural choice.
Yeah.
This is based on
Who's
me
the
thinking,
guy in Florida? He's a congressman. or a senator? I don't know.
Yeah, the guy in Florida. We had Tim Scott. I just thought, like, hey, if Trump were to get a black person, he's already doing well in certain pockets of, I'm going to call them uneducated black men. Like, if you got, you know, so whatever. But the prediction market actually had J.D. Vance ranked really high.
Yep.
And leading up until him being selected, the prediction markets actually doubled his chances. He still wasn't the number one choice. But I'm saying there is some information that comes from these prediction markets that's valuable, for sure.
Or it doesn't inform the other way, right? Like, there's a short list of people who are in the running. Does that create the demand that's needed for a prediction market to be successful?
Yeah, no, listen, it all works.
It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
And the reason why it works is, like, Wall Street kind of works like this as well. Like, when you think about how stocks trade, the price of a stock, in business school, they talked about that being perfect information. Meaning, at the moment in time we are in right this second, this is what everybody who's in the financial market has determined is the value of this company right this second. Because if I were to sell it, that is basically the meeting of the buyer and the seller at a price that clears the market. And so the more people that are guessing or betting, the more you've got an idea of the sentiment of the people.
Yeah, more data. So there's more confidence, I guess.
Absolutely.
In the outcome.
It's also similar to, imagine I had a jar full of M&Ms and I had that contest, like, vote on how many M&Ms are in the jar. I might not be right. You might not be right. But if we were to average out all the guesses and if we got over 1,000 guesses, odds are the average or the median guess is probably going to be pretty accurate, pretty close. It's the wisdom of crowds. It's the idea that it's not just what one person thinks, but what we all think collectively.
Yeah. And you can drum that up, too. I mean, but that's marketing.
Yeah, like if I were trying to make a financial manipulation, sure, I could dump $100 million into bets that I'm going to win the election.
Right.
And I can hope that that prediction becomes true because I'm promoting it in the newspaper. Like for sure.
Did you hear? I remember reading this article years ago where there were groups of people that were buying large volumes of lottery tickets in certain states. So they were basically rigging the outcome to increase their chances that one of their many thousands of tickets purchased would win.
And I'm sure they lost.
No, I think there was some evidence that they were increasing their chances. I don't know if they ever won or not, but it was, they won enough to make it worthwhile to keep doing it. People went to jail over this.
Yeah, I say I'm sure they lost because the thing is, with things like a lottery, your chances of winning are so low. Like, you could buy one or 100 tickets, and statistically, it's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, but this was like large dollar schemes where they were buying multiple blocks of tickets in different states.
Yeah.
Like, it was,
they were increasing their chances for sure.
Yeah. And maybe they didn't win the big one, but they won enough of the smaller ones to keep funding their next big block purchase.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember exactly what that was, but anyway.
Yeah. No, it's out there. So when people are trading on prediction markets, they're really combining all of the information they have at the time, just like in the stock market. Like in the stock market, I'm thinking about what are the earnings? I'm thinking about what's the story going on with the company? I'm thinking about what are their products looking like? Like all that is baked into the stock price.
Management tenure,
all that
things.
Stuff. When people are trading in these prediction markets, they're taking all the news, the polls, the expert opinions, and everything they can to make an educated guess. And it's a guess, right? It's not a, you know, guarantee that they're going to be right, but it's a guess at a price, right? So, like, again, these prediction markets are giving you the probability, and it's not always 100%.
So is Polymarket a market or is it a platform?
So they're kind of like the same thing. Like Polymarket is a company that is one of the biggest. According to them on their website, they say they're the biggest in the world.
Okay.
And I couldn't find any data to dispute or confirm. So let's just go with that for
good.
A second. Yeah, and it may not be a perfect representation because in order to participate in Polymarket or any of these prediction markets, first you got to have money. Then with Polymarket, you've got to have cryptocurrency.
Okay.
Then you've got to be willing to even go on there and bet knowing that you can't really do it in the U.S. officially. Like, right. I'm sure U.S. citizens are doing it, but you're not supposed to. It's not regulated. And it's using crypto, so maybe they don't know who the heck is doing this right. trading, really.
Exactly.
And so I wouldn't say it's completely accurate, but again, this is just a guess.
It's biased towards people who have the access and the resources that you spoke of.
Yeah. And again, they're not betting on what they want to happen. They're betting on what they think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But hey, market makers.
Yeah. So let's talk about what the prediction markets are saying right now about the election.
Okay. So they're saying there's a 60% chance that Trump wins versus 39% chance for Kamala.
Very different than what the polls are saying.
Right.
Polls say there's a 1% difference. The prediction markets say there's a big gap between these two.
So if I really understand this, and I think I'm proving that I don't, why would the polls and the prediction markets be so different? Why would there be such a disparity?
So a couple things.
Nerd question.
Yeah, no, for one, so with the polls, there's a margin of error that we talked about. It's at least 3% is what they say, but usually it's like 7 or 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Now with these, there's not any sort of guarantee about a margin of error.
Right.
This is just where the numbers land right now.
Okay.
Based on all the buyers and sellers in the marketplace who have access to cryptocurrency and money and are willing to make a bet. So clearly there's some selection bias here.
Sure. And I thought I had a question, but I really don't. I just don't like seeing this on paper. That's just...
But...
I don't like what the numbers are saying.
Yeah. But I will say Trump's losing steam.
Okay.
In the last...
Right, because the poll, they were closer. The numbers were closer. The margin of error, not the margin of error. The lead was more narrow.
Yeah, it's narrowing, for sure. So okay. Trump had been at 62%. Now he's at 60. Kamala had been at 34. Now she's at 39. So like percentage-wise, like she's gaining steam significantly more at a faster pace than Trump is.
I mean... And you think about it, too, it's such a short period of time that this has happened.
Yeah.
And so that should be scary to the opposition.
Yeah, I think it is. Personally, I do think it is.
That's why we attacking.
Yeah. There's a 1% chance that RFK Jr. will win the presidency. Mm-hmm. And that's just what someone's betting. Like, meaning they could bet a dollar.
Right.
And get paid $99 if they're right. So somebody's taking a chance.
Yep.
Michelle Obama, a little less than 1%. Gavin Newsom, a little less than 1%.
Yep.
So let's talk about the Democratic VP nominees.
Okay.
In the lead, we've got Mark Kelly at 37% chance.
Yeah. Also, not that far behind, Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Ray Cooper, governor of
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about these so far... but Kelly, Shapiro, and Cooper. I told you I've done a lot of reading last week. So they're all from either they're Democratic leaders who are serving in historically red states, but well-known and well-beloved.
Yeah.
So Mark Kelly is literally a hero, astronaut,
in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He took McCain's seat after his death.
Yep. And his wife was a congresswoman who was shot at a political event.
Yeah.
But people love Mark Kelly. Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania is largely Republican. But to win the Democratic governorship in a state like Pennsylvania, he's also just well-liked. I just have to admit, he's polished. He looks the part. I have my own thoughts and theories that the VP pick is going to be a white heterosexual male from one of these swing states.
Swing states, yep.
Same, Roy Cooper, just being a Democratic governor in North Carolina, which is historically largely Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It's not no surprise to me that these are at the top of the list.
Yeah.
So who else we got?
That's what it's about. It's about odds. Like, they landed on these people before Biden even stepped down.
Right.
They landed on these people without... Kamala putting out a list of who she's considering.
Yeah.
Like, the market has analyzed politics and said, here's who we think are in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, though, down at the bottom of the list, you got under 1% for J.B. Pritzker, because I've heard his name a lot on the news. Under 1% for Hillary. Under 1% for Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom. Like, I didn't expect Hillary or Michelle Obama. But Gretchen Whitmer, under 1%. So even though these names get talked about and it's, you know, on the news,
yep.
The financial markets think there's a really, really low chance of it happening. Not to say it can't.
Because the financial markets knows that America is biased, and having a dual female ticket or a dual person of color ticket is probably not going to get the job done.
Yeah.
That's my theory. Oh, listen, actually, it's all you on just paper. Said it's a fact, so.
It's on paper. They have a category called other man, meaning someone not listed here.
Sure.
4% chance.
Yeah.
For other woman, 1% chance. Meaning facts. The market thinks there's a 4 times more chance that a man gets this VP nomination than a woman.
Let me share something with you that's not in our statistics. I have seen in cultural competency spaces something called a privilege wheel.
Really?
And it shows the power and influence is at the center, but there are different demographics that are close to the center and get further and further out based on what people will call diversity.
Okay.
So at the center are right on the edges of the power and influence of the privilege wheel.
Okay.
Is white, heterosexual, European males.
Okay.
And then as you get further and further out, it gets into not just race and gender, religion, appearance, tall people versus short people.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible concept. And I wish I could give credit at this moment to the behavioral psychologist or the professional that came up with it, but it is some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So for that reason, in my conversation circles, everybody is speculating on who the vice presidential pick for Kamala could not be.
Mm.
And everybody's like, yeah, can't do two women.
Mm. Who's the furthest out? Is it black women? Is it like, who's the furthest out on that privilege wheel?
I think it's black homosexual women.
Mm.
But it gets into so many other things like career, wealth, appearance. It's more than just gender, sexuality, race. So many more things than that. But
okay.
Maybe we'll have to have another show and talk about the privilege wheel.
So we've talked about prediction markets.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep it going after the break. And I do want to give you the alternate take that I've come up with that I think is pretty
alternate take equals conspiracy theory.
Listen. So I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yes, we can. Ali Bumbaye.
I cannot.
Si se puede.
So no big word today yet, but now we're speaking other languages. Is that what we're doing?
Listen, the obligatory big word has not yet unveiled itself.
Mm. There's still time.
I just dropped obligatory.
Mm. Yeah, it's not good enough.
All right, fine. So we've been talking today about prediction markets. A little different than our normal show.
Mm-hmm.
We're just giving you insight into the bowels of Wall Street and how...
The bowels.
Yes. How Wall Street really thinks. What things that Wall Street's really looking at when they're making their financial and economic forecasts.
Okay. So, some things that many of us can relate to are some of the things we already talked about, right? So, you liken it to, say, sports betting. We talk about sports a lot on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So... if you think about it, I listen to a lot of sports analyst shows. And so it feels like on every show, they'll do a segment with an over under on something, right? They're trying to predict an outcome. Someone's keeping score. They might do this every day or every week, but it's kind of like you saying, what's the over under that this quarterback gets a contract before training camp starts? Mm-hmm. What's the over under on this team making a run in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
And someone's guessing, except they're just not putting money to it. That's the difference in the prediction markets versus some of these other gambling opportunities. Is there's real money that's being put out there associated with the outcomes.
Absolutely. So years ago, there was no way to make money on predictions that you might have.
Right.
Right? Like you might have had the prediction that McCain was going to beat Obama years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, the only way to profit from that was to then analyze McCain's like agenda, like his leanings, who were his supporters mm-hmm. in terms of industries, and then maybe buy some stocks in those industries.
Right.
Right? That was the only way to do it years ago.
Think about the industries or the companies that would benefit from a certain candidate getting elected, as opposed to profiting from the actual outcome.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Like, and back then you were guessing because maybe McCain got funded by, you know, the oil industry. But in his heart, he was against it, right? And it was hard to really know. And so these prediction markets have emerged. They've gotten bigger because now, as you mentioned, you can make a direct bet on the outcome. And if you bet on someone like J.D. Vance to win the VP nomination, you would have paid 32 cents and got paid out a dollar
because mm-hmm.
there was a 32% chance that he was going to win that nomination.
Right. And most people would say, if you had bet that way, if you had put money on that outcome and won, then they would say that's a good bet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a big bettor. I'm more of an investor. So like this doesn't necessarily appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
The times I would think about doing something like this is if I've got one of these alternate theories and I want to see if I'm right.
Right. So there's a group of people, what are they called? Contrarians.
Yeah.
They invest in things that are opposite of what all the other metrics that most of us use. They'll do the opposite.
Yeah.
And they could do that through options. They could do that through futures and forwards contracts. If you're talking about commodities, we could get into some real nerdy stuff here. Yeah. But that's what this is.
So if you're a fan of Kamala, of course, vote. Of course, lobby your friends. Of course, volunteer, do all the things. But right now, she's kind of a good financial bet.
Yeah.
Just saying, I'm not telling you to do this.
Yes, you are, but it's okay.
Not telling you to do this, but I'm right. saying, like, no, if you really think there's a chance that she's going to win,
mm-hmm.
you pay 39 cents and you get paid out at a dollar. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a good investment.
If you think Trump's going to win, you pay 60 cents, you get paid out at a dollar. Like, the payout's a lot less.
Right. Yep.
The consequences are a lot more.
In terms of prediction markets, a lot more. Priceless. Yeah.
I know we're trying to do our best to toe the line and not lean one way or the other. I try. I know Andrea is very transparent.
I stopped trying. I used to try, but it's hard right now. So much is at stake. Vote your conscience.
Yeah. Vote for the person that you think embodies your values the most.
Yeah.
I'm okay if you vote for your best interest.
Totally fine with that.
But also think about the interests of everybody around you. But at least think about your own interests. Because the thing about some of these candidates is like, you really think they're going to help you? Like, for real? Like, that's what
they
you think?
They don't care about you. Yeah. And you can make the case that none of them care about you because they don't know you. But
people like you. Like, what you think? I mean, it's a guess. All you're doing is guessing. I wrote a Facebook post this week that basically just said...
I just saw it today.
A lot of people are looking at this like children watching sports. Like, in sports, people feel like they've just got a rooting interest because they like a team. Mm-hmm. And when their team loses, they feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I say that is, like, I've seen posts like, oh, such and such can't win. Mm-hmm. So I'm not voting. Like, right. You're not voting because they can't win. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a say in what happens in our election.
And you don't have to have money to do it.
Yeah, you don't have to have any money to do it.
You don't have to have cryptocurrency. Yes. You don't have to have access to a platform. You got to register.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it.
And people are saying, oh, I don't love the candidate, so I'm not voting. So you're not voting?
At all.
Yo, I did some research this week. Would you believe, Andrea, like, if you wanted to go back in time to a time when everybody over 18 had an opportunity to vote, despite your gender, despite your ethnicity, despite a range of different things like religious beliefs, how many years back did you have to go? What would you guess?
How many years back would I have to go to?
Like the first time when everybody could vote. Men could vote, women could vote, Black people could vote, Native Americans could vote.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, we're talking
that women
like
could vote.
50, 60 years?
Yeah.
Like, so when you're voting, you're voting.
It's very recent.
For those people who can't vote. Like my son can't vote. My baby son can't vote. He's a ninth grader.
Mm-hmm.
I got to vote on his behalf.
Right.
When I vote, I got to vote on behalf of my grandfather who couldn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
When I vote, I got to not just think about me, but I got to think about the world. Yeah. Like, some of these agendas are against the environment. Like, if you don't believe in global warming,
we still got to breathe this air.
Like, yeah. So you got to really take all that
into account.
Mm-hmm. Not just vote for the person that you think can win. Vote for the person that you think will be best for the environment, for you, for your community. But just vote. Like, I know you've heard me say, I don't care who you vote for. I really don't. I just want people to vote.
Right. I hear you. And I would like to say, I don't care who you vote for.
Yeah.
I want to believe that. I want to say that. And most of the time, I believe that. I really don't care who you vote for. But you are correct. I do agree with you that I'd rather you vote and vote differently than how I would want you to vote than to not vote at all.
Yeah, that's
correct. But as a woman who, had I been born some years earlier, wouldn't have had this opportunity, I can't have people who don't understand or don't care making decisions about me.
Yeah.
Who cannot relate at all. I can't have that.
So, can I give you my alternate take?
Let's hear your conspiracy theory.
All right, it's my alternate take.
I'm sorry, your alternate take.
This is my alternate take on Kamala being the nominee.
All right.
Okay. So, number one, I think that the idea of Biden dropping out and then endorsing Kamala and it feeling like it's last minute, I think was actually either plan A all along or a very, very good plan B.
All along for how long?
All along, like literally
since he
all
her
along.
At, since his
like, and
first...
I don't know who's pulling the strings.
Yeah,
but here's why I say that, right? Number one, because my initial reaction was the Democrats are in the fourth quarter and they're changing the quarterback.
Yeah,
like that seems risky. Like, why didn't they do this like 2 years ago?
Right,
3 years ago. But when I think about it, it actually is kind of smart. And just hear me out for a second.
Okay,
number one. By allowing Biden to go out there and fail at the debates, and people still wanted to support him because of his values, but they were struggling with supporting him because of his physical ability.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get a chance to get people like, man, we want somebody else.
Yeah.
And now I get the chance to put a person out there, and I'm not saying, I don't want to take anything away from Kamala, but when you're looking for someone to be about your values, to do better than the person who I would love to vote for, but I can't, you're now presenting her really, really well.
Sure.
Which is why almost overnight, her approval rating went up by about 10%.
Yeah.
Because of how she was positioned, how she was presented. Number two, I think because of the fact that we now have no time for debates, no time for other people to put their name in the hat, now you don't have the ability for Kamala to take shots.
Mm-hmm.
That then becomes sound bites to be echoed by Republicans.
Right.
Right. And now she gets to walk through without having to deal with that debate stuff. And I think the debate will happen. I think Kamala will have a chance to debate Trump, but she won't have the chance to do that infighting that happened when Biden got the nomination over her 4 years ago.
Sure. So I was listening to some pundits or strategists, contributors, talk about how, and these were Republicans, talk about how as a former presidential candidate, she was best positioned to be able to act quickly to get delegates simply because she has state coordinators already in every state. There were people who were in place who could make that happen quickly, better than anybody else.
Yeah.
But that might give support to your take to say,
let me keep going.
Hey, this was considered a long time ago. And so that's just what
it is. Keep going.
Okay.
100 days is actually a good amount of time. I know it sounds like it's like we're voting tomorrow, but 100 days, like think about presidents who say my 100-day plan.
First 100 days, yeah.
Like 100 days is actually a good amount of time, but the timing is like perfect because a week ago we were talking about the RNC. A week ago, Trump was gaining steam.
The assassination attempt.
Assassination attempt was perfectly timed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the peak of the Republican Party's strength in this presidential election cycle. And now with this series of events, we're talking about a 1% spread in the polls. Of course, prediction markets think that it's a bigger spread.
Mm-hmm.
But like the timing is great. And even like someone like Obama holding off his nomination until today.
Yeah.
We're taping this on Friday this week. Like now
you get
a chance to be back into the news cycle.
We talking
with
about it
things.
At the cookout.
And then this is the funny part. Like, because also like by having a candidate go out there with his agenda of things that he's going to say against the other candidate and then having the opportunity to really get a do-over and try different points, you had a chance to test some stuff out with Biden saying it. And now Kamala gets to come in and say something completely different.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is that who better to talk about the other candidate having been accused of and convicted of sexual crimes against women than a woman?
Yeah.
Than a woman prosecutor?
Yeah.
Like, Biden never mentioned a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what makes me think maybe they were saving this for Kamala to say.
I just feel like he didn't come back with it quick enough. Like, there were certain things I fully expected, and I'm no, you know, debater. But, like, even when he referred to Trump as a convicted felon, Trump was like, your son is a felon.
Yeah.
Like, I fully expected Biden to be like, yeah, but my son's not. Yeah, I know that, but my son's not running for president.
Word.
Like, I expected at a minimum him to say that, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
But speaking of the cookout, you know, we're talking about the weekend news cycle where people are going to be gathering and talking about these things. Vice President Kamala Harris is literally applying for the ultimate black job.
Mm.
I just had to say that.
I love that.
I didn't come up with that on my own, but I'm just saying I had to say it since we talked about that.
I love that.
A couple of weeks ago.
Finally, I think it's, again, this is why I think this was perfectly planned. Like the Republicans went through their whole convention and they didn't expect this to happen. So they generated all their stuff. They got all their points about Biden. They have no agenda about how to attack Kamala. And I know this because I watch Fox News on purpose. I try to watch all kinds of news to know what everybody's thinking.
Sure.
And they were scrambling. Even my, like the people in my friend circle in social media that are big Trump supporters, they're like scrambling for what to say. Like here's what I've heard is like, you know, we don't know her, but in 100 days you can get to know somebody. If even if you don't think you know her, and I think we do know her.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't know her. They're like, you know, she knew that Biden wasn't fit to serve and she was part of the gaslighting of America.
I heard that.
They're talking about, well, she shouldn't even be able to take all that money because it was donated to the
Biden-Harris
campaign, not the Harris campaign. Like
Trump literally said, we spent all this money fighting Biden and now she comes in and we have to change. The Democratic Party should reimburse us for the money we spent to attack them. I'm just like,
that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
So look, this is all making for really interesting theater, but we've got to be more than just spectators at the theater. We've got to be activated. We've got to be motivated. We've got to be voting. We've got to be donating like I've donated. Like, but, and again, pick the person that's not perfect, it's not without a blemish, but the person who you think best represents you.
Listen, I look at it this way, and you said this in your post, I think, you know, no candidate is going to be perfect. To me, the more you try to do, the more opportunities you have to mess up, but also the more opportunities you have to get something right. So if a candidate has done nothing, there's nothing to attack because they did nothing. Unless that is the attack, that you did nothing, right? But like, you just saying that, oh, she wasn't strong on this issue, that may be factually correct, but you had to try to do something in order for someone to be able to say you didn't do it well.
Yeah. A lot of times that person hasn't done anything just means that they really don't know what the person did.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing I think, you know, the Biden-Harris campaign didn't do a great job of, like, talking about what they've achieved. Like, talking about the fact the economy is actually really strong. Like, yeah, there's issues with inflation.
We talked about
inflation's
it.
Coming down a ton.
Yep.
And the agenda we talked about for Biden is not that different than the agenda we talked about or we expect from Harris.
It's not. But the delivery and the energy and the excitement.
Yes. On the upswing.
Is different. On the upswing.
Especially according to the prediction market. So thanks for listening to our discussion of how Wall Street thinks. Keep listening. We'll be back next week.
No pity listens, but just do it.
Keep listening because it's in your best interest.
Yeah, and if you listen once and you come back again, we're really happy.
We got you.
Yeah.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.